We're on Psalm 41 as we're going through the Psalms. Psalm 41, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. Oh, evil disease, they say, clings to him. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. This psalm, like many of them, is about God's amazing, marvelous, wonderful, undeserved grace. The Akkerman describes it well, God's riches at Christ's expense. And we see David here, I believe, confessing his sin, talking about his unworthiness of receiving the blessings of God and yet still receiving those blessings and thanking and praising God for them. Here, to start with, and this is point number one, I believe David is speaking here of a blessing he did not deserve. A blessing, at least, that he did not completely deserve. When he says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. There is certainly a blessing to the merciful, those who consider the poor. He says, he who considers the poor, he says, blessed is he who considers the poor, to start this psalm. And Jesus says, very similarly, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so, if you're merciful to somebody else, the idea is God will be merciful to you. But what happens if you're not merciful to somebody else? Is there any hope of grace at all if you sin against God by treating somebody else badly? I doubt not that David often did consider the poor. However, in this psalm, the unfaithful friend mentioned in verse 9, for David was Ahithophel. Remember Ahithophel? Ahithophel was David's close friend. He was a counselor to the king. He was somebody David trusted. And Ahithophel, at the time that Absalom rebels against David, his own son rebels against him, Ahithophel leaves David because of and for David's rebellious son, Absalom. You know, Absalom was young and handsome, and he seemed to have the whole nation on his side. And David was old. David had been a sinner in a great way with Bathsheba and you murdering Uriah. And so Ahithophel, who was David's close friend, leaves David and goes with Absalom. And Absalom's rebellion is connected to David's sin with Bathsheba. It's something that was said in Scripture that was the case. The son rebelled against the father in a way that had already been prophesied by the prophet Nathan, even, I believe, before Absalom was even born. And the sin which David committed against Uriah was against a poor man. Uriah was the poor man in relation to David. Remember who Nathan the prophet, you'll remember who Nathan the prophet made David see his sin. It says, Nathan is speaking and he says, "And a traveler came to the rich man." Who's the rich man in this story? It's David, because he's the king. He's not only the king, but he had already had several wives. And he said, "This rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him." You know, David had several wives. He didn't need to take somebody else's wife. But it says, "But he took the poor man's lamb." Uriah is the poor man. And Nathan goes into this more than I will here. He says this poor man had only this one lamb that he cared for like a child. And it says, though, that David, he prepared it for the man who had come to him. And after this happens, David is furious about this thing happening. And if you remember, Nathan says, "You are the man." And he makes David see his sin. And I believe here in Psalm 41 that David is seeing that very thing. When he starts the psalm, he says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor." But he's not thinking that that's him. He's thinking of his own sin against Uriah, which meant taking his wife and then murdering him. And he's thinking he's not that person. Not only was David's act adultery, which led to murder, which showed a lack of contentment in regard to God's provision. But according to Nathan the prophet, who was speaking by the power of God's Spirit, it was an action opposite of considering the poor, which would result in God's blessing. And David was feeling the opposite of blessing in his life as Absalom rebelled. His best friend Ahithophel went with him, who he mentions in this psalm. And he's feeling this situation after his sin. And so he says in verse 4, "Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." And so he states, it might be not that obvious, but he states in the first verse, "Blessed is he who considers the poor." But that's not him. And he says in verse 4, he says, "Heal my soul." His soul is rotten, he says, because he had done this horrible sin in taking Bathsheba, murdering the poor man Uriah, all of this against God's great provision for him. And so he's crying because of this sin. Part two. As part of the discipline of God for his sins, David's enemies were allowed to gather against him. He says, "My enemies speak evil of me." Well, they would. Now they have a real occasion. Before, if they were enemies because of what David did right, they could not think of anything legitimate to blame David for. But now they have the Bathsheba incident, the murdering of Uriah, the whole falling apart of David's family. And so he says, my enemies speak evil of me. When will he die? This is what the enemies are saying. When will he die? They just can't wait for that to happen. And his name perish. Because David, even though he had sinned, was still known as the man who defeated Goliath and defeated the Philistines and had led the Israelites to victory. And he was still a man after God's own heart, and they just can't wait for him to die. And it says, and he comes to see me, if he comes to see me, meaning if he's pretending to like me, if he's visiting me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to himself. Meaning he comes and visits and he pretends to be a friend. He pretends to like David. And it says his heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. You know, he goes and tells the lies more about David. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now he lies down and will rise up no more. Well, a lot of them did think that. At that time when Absalom was rebelling, David had to leave the kingdom. And they thought, this is the end of him. He won't be king anymore. He's finished. One example of this enemies coming against him that's in Scripture is the example of Shimei. You all remember who Shimei is. He's mentioned in 2 Samuel 16, and I'm going to read this. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14. It says, Now King David came to Bahurim. This is when he's leaving Absalom. There was a man there from the family of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left, meaning David had soldiers all around him, and only one man was throwing stones. And also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, what shall I do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and to his servants, see how this my son who came from my own body seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjaminite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went alongside the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. And so Here is Shimei. What are some of the things? Well, he speaks lies. You know, he curses and lies. And he's calling David a bloodthirsty man. And he means bloodthirsty in regard to Saul. Well, David sinned with Bathsheba. And he killed Uriah because he wanted to cover up his sin. But he was not bloodthirsty towards Saul. Saul was bloodthirsty towards him. Saul chased him in the wilderness. David spared Saul's life twice when he had an opportunity to kill him. And Saul committed suicide when he thought that the Philistines had him trapped. And so David was not bloodthirsty towards Saul at all. And so what Shimei is yelling and he's throwing rocks and throwing dirt, he's lying about David. It was wrong what he was saying. But David lets it go. And why? Because he knows, even though he hasn't done the wrong that Shimei is accusing him of, he has done wrong. And his own son is rebelling against him because of it. David's servants want to take Shimei's head off. They know that what he's saying is wrong as he throws rocks, and it's a blatant lie. So they want to go behead him. And David stops his servants from taking righteous vengeance because he sees Shimei's actions and lies as part of God's punishment. Even though Shimei is wrong in doing it, David is saying, God allowing it is right. He's allowing me to endure this. And maybe he'll have mercy on me because I'm accepting this punishment as from God. And he does. He has mercy on David. And later Shimei would get in trouble and would be killed. But at this time he's not. And yet while he does not allow his servants to deal with Shimei and other enemies like him, he still believes God can and will deal with him. And so while he doesn't take vengeance on Shimei, he knows that God, and that's what he's praying for in Psalm 41, will eventually take vengeance on these people. These people who would have been his enemies even if he never did what he did with Bathsheba. They would have been his enemies because they were against what he did right. And yet he knows that they're enemies and they're successful to whatever degree they are because God's allowing it. Thirdly, while verse 9 referred to Ahithophel in David's life, it refers to Judas in Jesus' life. Verse 9 in Psalm 41 says, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." And Jesus in John 13:8 says, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know who I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And so Jesus quotes this psalm, which did apply to David. David had an application in Ahithophel, but Jesus is saying it's not fulfilled completely until it's fulfilled in me and in the fact of Judas betraying me, just like Ahithophel betrayed David. And so how are these two alike? How do they compare to each other? Ahithophel and Judas, how are they compared? Well, both of them had authoritative positions. Ahithophel was counselor to the king, meaning to David, and Judas was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Even a higher position, obviously, for Judas than any king. Both were counted friends. My own familiar friend. In the Hebrew, it literally meant the man of my peace. You know, somebody I was at peace with. Somebody I could seemingly trust. The one that was dear who I thought was on my side. Both betrayed. Ahithophel betrays David in favor of his handsome, young, arrogant, popular with the people son Absalom. He betrays David because he thought that the son Absalom is going to be king, and I want to be on the right side. And I don't care about the years of friendship I had with this other one. I'm not going to get slaughtered with David. And Judas, he betrays Jesus for money. He was after money. You know, the psalm starts with giving to the poor. Blessed is the one who gives to the poor. Well, when the woman poured the perfume on Jesus' feet that was worth a year's worth of salary, Judas was the first to say, "Oh, this is wasted. It could have been given to the poor." But the scriptural note underneath says he said that. Why? Because he was taking the money that was supposed to be for the poor. He was making himself to be the poor and was taking that money. And so we see Ahithophel and Judas both have rotten hearts. And then both are disappointed. And both commit suicide. Ahithophel is disappointed when Absalom rejects his counsel. It's interesting. Absalom may have defeated David if he would have taken the counsel of Ahithophel. But David was praying. Remember this? He prays that the counsel of Ahithophel would be frustrated. And another younger man gives counsel to Absalom. And Absalom takes the younger man's counsel. Ahithophel had told Absalom, attack him now, as he's running, as he's down, get him now. And the other man said, no, you know, your father is a man of war. If you lose at all, he'll be hiding somewhere and there's no way you'd get him. And the other man's counsel won. And Absalom takes the cautious, slow attack of David and ends up hanging himself in a tree. And so, even before he knows that Absalom hangs himself, Ahithophel commits suicide. And Judas, before he's certain of Jesus' death, when he knows of Jesus' death, there's a part of him that didn't want Jesus killed. But when he hears about it, he is sorrowful. And he also commits suicide. But he's not repentant. He doesn't come back to Jesus. He doesn't have faith that he can be forgiven. Ahithophel betrays a great king. One who was himself a sinner. David was a sinner, obviously. And Ahithophel betrays him. And Judas betrays the King of Kings, the sinless Son of God and Savior. And so this verse, Psalm 41:9, is obviously the most popular verse in Psalm 41. It's the one that people remember. It's the one quoted by Jesus. It's the one that relates to Jesus and to David. Notice David confesses earlier in the psalm to himself being a sinner. So the whole psalm does not apply to Jesus. Not that part at least. But this part does. Fourthly, David is ultimately blessed because of Jesus. We see this in verses 10 through 12. It says, but you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. You know, I think it's interesting in the mornings we've been talking about Christ's resurrection. And here David is saying, be merciful to me and raise me up. Will David be raised up because of Christ's resurrection? Certainly he will be. On that last day, David will have a new body just like we will. Even now, I believe he is in heaven because he's been forgiven. He says, raise me up that I may repay them. I don't know how he gets vengeance on these people. They were already avenged. David did win this. By this, I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set your face before me. God's mercy toward David is ultimately contingent on Christ's suffering on the cross. As he said earlier in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit is no deceit. I believe here David was feeling that God was judging him by allowing Absalom and Shimei and this rebelling stuff to come upon him. But he eventually sees that all of these people fail. And God did forgive him. He told him, even through Nathan who confronted him, he told him he would be forgiven, and he was. As it says in Romans, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who had faith in Jesus. That was David. Was there anything when he says in the beginning of this psalm, blessed is he who considers the poor. But then you read about Uriah, who was, according to Nathan, the poor man. He definitely didn't have what David did. He was one of David's little soldiers. And David did not consider the poor in that case for sure. Nathan brought that up to him and David agreed that he did not do that. He had definitely sinned and in a horrible, horrible way. And yet he's forgiven. God justifies us, it says, the ungodly. It's by faith. That's the only thing we can see in David that saves him is his faith. He trusts in God. It's nothing that he did righteous or good. He had failed. He says, this man is blessed, the one who considers the poor. But he was not that man. He's saying, it's not me. Please forgive me. Heal my soul. Even the repaying and the revenge of the saints is ultimately in God's hands. As it is written in Romans 12, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will pray, I will repay, says the Lord, Romans 12, 19. Even in this life, David is not ultimately defeated. He won those battles. And it's because of God's upholding. God upheld him and kept him going. That's why he can look around and see. Even his own son was defeated. He didn't want his son. He cried, Absalom, Absalom. He did not want that to happen. But Absalom was a rebel against him. And he sees that God had protected him even against his son. The blessing is ultimately turned back to God. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Here he sees himself blessed. Then he sees himself blessed only because of God's grace, not because he's deserving any of it. And so what can he do? Well, the only thing he can do is praise God some more. Thank you, he's saying. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. That means eternal praise is what God deserves. And then he says, amen and amen. True and doubly true that God is blessed. What must we do? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do, we should do to His glory. If He's had mercy upon us and forgiven us sins, what can we do except for praise Him? And then secondly, we see this is eternal truth. He is God from everlasting to everlasting. He deserves our praise. Amen and amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you for David, that he writes these psalms and he tells about his sin and he knows that he's undeserving. And yet you did forgive him. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. And Father, David was one of those who sinned greatly against you. And yet you covered his sin, you forgave him. And Father, we thank you for that. Because we also are sinners and we also fall short of your glory. And we need your forgiveness and your grace. And we thank you when we have it. And Father, we pray you'd go with us as we go our separate ways. Be with us the rest of tonight and the rest of this week as we seek to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.